So I want to start today with a confession. I don't wrap presents very well. I either cut the paper too short, so you got to tape on extra to cover the end of the box. That looks good, right? Or it's too long and you have this big wad you fold up. And ribbons, they always turn into knots. For years and years, I felt like a Christmas present misfit until our future son-in-law came into our lives. He is so bad at wrapping presents, he doesn't even try. He gave up a long time ago. He just kind of wads some paper around a box and then pulls out a roll of duct tape and puts a big wad of duct tape on there, and he's done with it. The difference is, I keep trying, he gave up. This is why, by the way, I've grown to really like gift bags. So does the wrapping matter, really? No. Thank goodness. Well, the wrapping has one function. It covers the gift. It keeps some surprise alive for us. Now, of course, sometimes little kids, and we've seen this, 2- and 3-year-olds, they play with the paper in the box, right? And parents, we think, well, I just wasted $80 on that. Should have got the kid a box. But us big people, we generally throw the paper away, and we treasure the gift that is inside the box. And, of course, the best gifts are the ones that tell the recipient, I know you. I get you. I understand you so well that you don't even need to tell me what you want because I know. I live for that day, by the way. So here we are tonight. The trees are trimmed. The halls are decked. The stockings are hung by the chimney with care. But that's just the wrapping. It's not the gift. The gift that comes to us is God's Son, Jesus. But I wonder if we also miss God's gift by looking at the wrapping, that familiar story we heard this afternoon. Story of Mary and Joseph, the baby Jesus born late in a manger. That idyllic image, it shows up on so many Christmas cards. Mary sitting there looking content, which I don't get because she just gave birth in a barn 30 miles from home. And get this, the animals quietly sitting at their feet. I got 2 dogs, I would like to learn that, but Star of Bethlehem overhead. It's a really nice image, but it's just the wrapping. Even our story tells us that. It tells us, get this, you will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, and that'll be a sign. The child wrapped in bands of cloth, that will be the sign. It's just the wrapping. The gift. The gift is the Savior who Jesus becomes. Now, we might be drawn to the baby because a baby doesn't challenge us. Now, at 10 o'clock, parents of little ones started laughing out loud when I said that. They're thinking, you probably forgot what it's like to have a baby around because they absolutely do challenge you. But the baby Jesus challenges us in a different way. See, the adult Jesus has the ability to challenge our greed and our hypocrisy, our selfish and judgmentalism, our desire to be in control. See, Jesus' birth is just a beginning. He grew to become the Savior of the world, your Savior. Jesus is God's gift to you that says, I get you. I know you better than anybody else. I know just what you need, even if you don't think you need it. Now, we all know there's part of us that wants to say, yeah, I don't need no Savior. And God says, yeah, I know you don't think you do, but here's one anyway. Just in case. I know just what you need. And to receive God's gift, we need to open our eyes. Or maybe open our hearts. Not just to see, but to feel how God comes to us. See, the point of Christmas is this churchy-sounding word, incarnation. Now, incarnation simply means God is with us. See, if we assume that God coming to us in Jesus is a single, one-time event, then we're not going to be looking for all the other ways God continues to come to us day after day, again and again. And when God comes to us today, It's not a specific date marked on the calendar in advance. Instead, God comes to us in times of the heart, in times of our souls, those times when we feel alone, those times when we feel like those we trusted the most have turned on us, when it feels like those we thought we knew so well seem to hate you. When you feel so alone, it feels like those you love may have even forgotten your name. God is with you. God is with us when we feel lost. You know, John's gospel describes Jesus as the light that shines into the darkness, the light that no darkness can overcome. Jesus shines into the darkness, and not just the darkness, but your darkness. God comes to us and is with us when we are disappointed. When we're disappointed in God for not being the kind of God we wanted, who's not going to be a Santa Claus who gives us whatever we want when we want it. God comes to us to be with us when we are disappointed in others, when they won't be the people we want them to be. Go figure. And God is with us when we become disappointed in ourselves, when we become somebody we don't want to be. And when we ask those kind of what of life, what is life for types of questions, when we wonder about our value and its worth, it can raise a hunger in us. And maybe that's part of the appeal of Christmas, isn't it? The hope it brings, the promise that God has not forgotten you, even if you have forgotten God. The promise that God loves you still, that God continues to come to us, often, frequently. Now, we've all heard people say, I wish it could be Christmas all year long. And I got to tell you, I've never heard that from our music staff. But when we say we wish it could be Christmas all year long, we're probably not saying, oh boy, I wish I could leave the decorations up all year, even though some of us might leave lights in the bushes outside till, I don't know, May, or leave the tree up until half the needles are off. No, when we talk about I wish it was Christmas all year long, what we usually mean is I wish that spirit of love and generosity would stick around, and not just the spirit, but also the actions of being generous in caring for those in need and doing the right thing. So if we want it to be Christmas all year long, it's not up to God. It's up to us. If we want it to be Christmas all year long, that responsibility falls on us. See, God came to us in Jesus, and Jesus continues to be present in the world today in the body of Christ. And if you want to know what that looks like, look around. That's who we are. We are the body of Christ. We are part of God's presence in this world. We are part of God's incarnation in this world. So spread joy. Laugh. Have some fun doing this. You know, a lot of times people get the idea that being a Christian means we need to walk around with a super serious, sad look on our faces, looking like we just smelled bad meat. You know? No! This is an exciting, joyful thing. God loves you enough to come with you, not just to know your name, but to fill you, to live in you. So share that joy. Be generous. Care for the poor. Feed the hungry. Bind up the brokenhearted. Raise the dead. And that's not just figurative. We are the ones who God trusts to carry Jesus into the world, here, now, today. Christmas does not end with Jesus, a baby, laid in a manger. It starts there. That story is just the wrapping. None of us use the wrapping all year. We use the gift that is inside the box. And the gift is Jesus, who is with us, who keeps coming to us not just once, but frequently to heal us of our inner pain, to shine away the gloom of darkness that creeps into our lives, and who sets us free to live with joy and excitement about what God has done and what God continues to do. Now, don't forget, God does not work alone. If you look at our story today, how many saviors were there? One. one. God did not send an army of messiahs. He sent one. God's gift in Jesus does not do our job for us. This is not a Packers game where we sit and watch and every now and then get up and cheer and scare the dogs so they want to hide under the rug. Okay? No, this is something we all participate in. We all get to carry the ball. God works in us, setting us free from guilt and fear, filling us with peace and hope and contentment, and giving us a vision and passion and mercy and generosity and living as God's partners in redeeming this world. That's who Jesus invites us to be. And that, friends, is what Christmas all year long would look like. Now, it's going to be inconvenient. It will cost us. It'll cost us time. It'll cost us money. It'll cost us energy. But it is so worth it. And that's why we have those important and precious things in our lives. They are for us, but they are not for us alone. You know the joy and excitement of giving gifts to people you love and waiting, watching them open it and see their face light up. Okay? I have a grandson who's 3 now. The boy loves lawnmowers and leaf blowers and everything else. This year, I got him a toy chainsaw that looks just like mine. Pull the starter rope, it makes noise, it sounds just like a chainsaw. I can't wait. And then I can't wait to see his mother's face when she sees how much noise it makes. We geezers call that payback. But he doesn't need anything. He's got everything he needs. And you know what? It feels even better to give things to those who really need them. That's what we get to do all year long when we're generous with our love and our compassion, with ourselves and our things. If you've never fed somebody who's hungry, and I mean hungry, and seeing them eat a good meal you made for them or brought them, oh, that is so worth it. When we forgive those who hurt us, even when they mean to, and all the other things we do walking in the footsteps of Jesus, that's what it means for it to be Christmas all year long. I'm not very good at wrapping presents. Most of you are probably better at it. Might be a couple who are worse. But it doesn't matter. What matters is whether we are good at giving the gift of sharing God's love in Christ, bringing healing to the brokenhearted, love to the bitter and angry, food to the hungry, new life to those who feel dead. Is it going to be Christmas all year? Well, that's not up to God. It's up to us. Merry Christmas. Let's rise for our hymn.